Hour number three, and welcome back to the program. Sportsline here on a Friday night, high atop Television Hill. Brett Hollander, Jay Cottrell in the house. Fantasy geeks beware, we're talking fantasy baseball right now. I know a lot of drafts coming up in the next few days. Joining us from LeagueSafe.com, Matt Harrison. Matt, thank you for being on the program.
Hey, Brett, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing very well. You play multiple fantasy sports, right?
Yeah, too many. My wife's not happy.
Where does baseball rank, in your opinion, as the most fun to play?
I really like the daily and weekly grind of baseball. I'm a big football fan, but I get so geeked up for baseball drafts. There's so much more strategy to it. You really have to try to build a roster more than get a couple of star players than you do in football. And so baseball and football, they're my two loves, but I love them both almost equally.
And wasn't baseball kind of the first of its kind in the internet world? Fantasy, everyone's doing fantasy, and fantasy football is certainly big. But wasn't baseball kind of ahead of its time when it comes to fantasy sports and rotisserie sports?
Yeah, I believe it was actually invented at a restaurant, and I believe in New York, that was called something rotisserie.
Mm.
And they came up with a 4x4 scoring system, and off they went. And now it's grown and grown, and people are in 5x5 and 6x6, and the stats are getting more and more sabermetric. You're looking at OPS in leagues and all sorts of stuff, and it's getting crazy.
It's getting crazy. All right, OPS, I love that stat. It's really important, I think. A little bit of a stretch when you're playing fantasy sports, but let's dive into it right now. And I think the first thing people want to know is newcomers. Let's start with Tanaka. We just had a Yankees writer on. Where do you rank him? Where would you draft him in a basic drafting league for starting pitching?
In my rankings, I put him down in the mid-50s, actually. I'm a little bit afraid of Tanaka this year. When the pitchers come over from the eastern side of the world, they tend to struggle a little bit. Yu Darvish is kind of the exception. And the fact that Yankee Stadium is such a hitter's park, I'm a little bit afraid of Tanaka this year. I'm not going to go all in on him yet. I'd like to see him pitch at least for a few months. And then, the baseball's a different size. They have a whole bunch of different rules in Japan. And I'm a little bit leery of Tanaka so far.
Yeah, give us the big rookies that people should look out for here, and the ones getting the hype and the ones you're intrigued by.
One of the guys I really like, who's probably not going to start the year in the majors, is Alexander Guerrero. He's the second baseman for the Dodgers. He had 21 home runs and 328 plate appearances last year. He had more walks than strikeouts. Justin Turner and Dee Gordon, who don't inspire a lot of confidence, are going to start the year for the Dodgers at second base, but Alex Guerrero is going to come up, and he's going to be one of those guys who's a little bit sneaky, 20 home run potential from the second base position, high batting average, maybe a young Robinson Cano.
Wow.
Those are big words, but hey, you know, we got to make calls in fantasy sports, right?
Yeah, speaking of Cano, kind of a tricky situation. He will not have the Yankees lineup surrounding him anymore, and he'll have a much bigger ballpark. How much does that hurt his value?
I think it hurts his value a little bit, not significantly. I still have him in my top two second basemans. I actually like Jason Kipnis a little bit better just because of the stability that Cleveland offers, and he kind of gives you a little bit from every position. Cano still has the 20 to 30 home run potential, and he's still going to have a high batting average. I'm just fearful of that Seattle lineup. It's not as powerful as the Yankees. And he doesn't have Yankee Stadium to deal with, and the porch in Seattle's a lot further away.
No question about it. Matt, you have the first overall pick, and you are in an AL-NL league. You can draft anybody. Is it always a hitter?
It's always a hitter.
Okay.
And you can make the argument that it's either Mike Trout or Miggy Cabrera, and you really can't make the argument over anybody else.
It's that
depending
simple,
on
huh?
What you want to build your team around. Miggy's going to get you the power, the RBIs, the high batting average. Trout's going to get you a little less power, but a lot more speed. But those two guys, it's those two and nobody else.
A big debate in any sort of fantasy draft this year is going to be Chris Davis. If someone picked Chris Davis up in a later round last year, they struck it big with his 53 home runs. I guess the question is, not can he replicate it, can he duplicate that performance, can he come close to it? 53 seems like a very high number, but I'm going to put it right out there right now. I think Chris Davis hits between 43 and 45 homers this year if he stays healthy.
I got him projected at about 38 home runs this season. In his past, in his career, he's a 266 hitter. Pre-All-Star break last year, he was on a tear. 95 games, 37 home runs, 315 batting average. But post-All-Star break, he cooled down significantly. In those 65 games, he had a 245 batting average. He's a little closer to the 245 guy, not as bad, but he's closer to that than he is to the 315 guy. So I think he's about 38 to 40 home runs. And really, that's something that you can bank on, and that's great production out of a power hitter.
We are with Matt Harrison, fantasy baseball expert from LeagueSafe.com. We're looking at the upcoming fantasy baseball draft for everyone. Closers, always an interesting thing to look at, Matt, because you can find every year there's going to be someone up the scrap heap who has a huge year, is going to get 35, 40 saves, maybe make an all-star team. Do you draft closers early? Do you wait on it? Do you look for the value of like a Tommy Hunter who has never been a full-time closer, but probably if he's just adequate, he can run into 30, 35 saves playing for a good team?
Oh, man. You want to hear a closer story?
Yeah.
I have Aroldis Chapman on one of my teams, and he just took a ball off the face the other day. He's out 6 to 8 weeks. So you already look at the Cincinnati Reds, and they're looking at J.J. Hoover or Sam LeCure as their closer in waiting right now for at least the first 2 months of the season. So I'm so scared of going heavy on closers. I usually go real late on closers. Sometimes I don't even pay for a closer at all. I'll just grab a couple of the higher-end replacement setup guys, maybe like a Rex Brothers in Colorado or a Danny Farquhar in Seattle. And I kind of just let them ride it out a little bit, and they'll have the job in May or June and watch some big saves come my way later.
You can draft one starting pitcher. You're definitely going starting pitcher with your first opportunity to do that. Who are you taking?
It's Clayton Kershaw. He's number one with a bullet. He's got the ERA. He's got the strikeouts. He's got the whip. He's going to get you wins and a great lineup in L.A. It's Clayton Kershaw.
Speaking of L.A., Yasiel Puig, I imagine some people are going to jump on him a bit early this year based on what he did last year. Is there a regression fear with Puig?
There definitely is, because they're going to start him off the season batting leadoff in that order. So a lot of RBIs are going to come off of his plate. He should have good run opportunities. He's fairly quick. He'll get you 20 stolen bases or so, and he's still got that power. There is concerns about his weight coming back into spring training this year. He's a little out of shape. He's been having a couple run-ins with the law, especially with his traffic tickets and going 100 miles an hour and such. But, so I don't see Puig popping in like he did last year and just lighting up the league this year.
One thing that's interesting, Matt, in the post-steroid world here, unlike 5, 10, 15, 20 years ago, now all of a sudden, when you turn 30, 35, and beyond, you act your age. For a very long time there, you did not act your age. You stayed the same or even got better in some cases. Now all of a sudden, out of nowhere, you could have a significant drop-off year. So buyer beware for the Mark Teixeiras of the world who's coming off of a injury-plagued season, but his numbers have been crashing hard. Guys like Teixeira, Jeter, I can name the entire Yankees order, actually, because that would be a really good example of that. But these 34, 35-year-olds are out there, and buyer beware.
You know, a 38-year-old that I don't mind putting on my roster right now is David Ortiz.
Mm-hmm.
That sucks. 309 or better batting average in each of the last 3 years, 28-plus home runs in 4 of the last 5 years. Now, granted, he's 38, but you're going to get him at a serious discount in fantasy baseball because he plays DH, and he's only DH eligible in a lot of leagues. That means you got to throw him in your utility spot. So a lot of people just don't like to put a DH in that utility spot. They like to fill it with an extra outfielder or an extra first baseman. I like David Ortiz to put up some huge numbers for a pretty low cost.
Fascinating stuff from Matt Harrison, our fantasy baseball expert from LeagueSafe.com. Matt, we'll check in during the course of the season from time to time. Good luck to you this year, and we'll check in soon.
Yeah, thanks, Brett.
That was fun. Matt Harrison from LeagueSafe.com to get you ready for your fantasy draft coming up. We'll come back. An interesting phone call for the newest Ravens, Steve Smith. We'll explain when we come back here on Sportsline.